Okay, Eileen, I've got a question for you. I've got a big question for you.
Oh.
You ready? This is going to go in a category called big questions. We have one already called the Alexander Technique and the Future of Mankind.
Okay, now on a scale of 1 to 10, I'll make this question.
This could be a 10. Let me read you a quotation. This is the technique of Mr. Alexander, or the Alexander Technique as we know it, bears the same relation to education that education itself bears to all other human activities. And the person who wrote this was named John Dewey. He was a very well-known American educator and philosopher. He was probably America's most famous philosopher. He's associated with a school of thought called pragmatism. He may be the top banana pragmatist, I'm not certain. But he was also very influential in the development of public education in America in the first half.
So he was pragmatic about bananas?
He was pragmatic. Yeah.
Oh, I just didn't know he imported them, or
he was just
he wrote about them.
He wrote about Mr. Alexander. We're talking about John Dewey here.
Yes. Well, you mentioned bananas. I had no idea. Okay, go on.
Anyway, so this is a quote by John Dewey, and it's actually from Alexander's third book called The Use of the Self, and probably his most accessible book. Now, if you take Dewey at his word, he was not a philosopher prone to wax enthusiastic about everything, for sure. What would you say about that? Because it really suggests that the Alexander Technique is the most important thing for anyone to do in their whole lives. That seems a little strong, don't you think?
Well, you know, I do think that's a little strong, too.
Yeah. But what do you think of the quote?
I like the quote.
It's a great quote.
Yeah. And I have guessed that I had imagined that what he was getting at was how we utilize ourselves meaning our body, our thinking, our awareness, how we utilize ourselves really affects how we learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us glasses in a way.
Someone listening to that will say, what is she talking about, how we use ourselves? What does that mean? Make that real accessible to anybody.
Oh, boy.
I told you it was going to be a big question.
Yes. Yeah, how we use ourselves is...
What does it mean?
It really means, are we purposefully but unknowingly doing stuff that interferes with our thinking, our moving... our awareness.
What would be a common example?
A common example of that is somebody getting up or sitting down in a chair. Somebody going to sit down in the chair. They do this experiment. I don't remember if we talked about this before, this experiment. I think we did. Just putting your hand along partly your palm along the back of your neck and partly on your skull, and then go sit down in a chair and see if you contract your neck and you pull your head into your body. And
you'll pretty
likely,
much
without
always...
lessons, you're not going to know otherwise unless you put your hand there.
And there's a good chance you are.
Good chance that you are. There are many things that we do where we tell ourselves to tighten up, to get ready, to feel enough oomph. Another example is concentration. We think we're concentrating, and quite often we're losing a lot of tension in our body.
Okay, so here I am, your typical listener, and I hear this, and it sounds okay. This sounds like good stuff for sort of physical training, you might say. But I keep coming back to this quote. How is a little bit improving your body going to make a huge difference in your ability to learn?
Well, like I was talking about with concentration, if we mistake concentration with just for tension, which we quite often do, we quite often are looking for a particular feeling to know we're concentrating, the feeling of concentration. And that feeling is coming from a lot of tension in our body because we won't feel our mind working. And so when we're looking for that and thinking that's concentration, that's what we're focusing on instead of the thing we want to concentrate on.
Yeah.
So there is one way where it really affects learning.
That's definitely
an attention and awareness. And that's one way where we're really fooling ourselves. We're thinking that feeling sense is thinking.
Right.
So we confuse that a lot.
That's a biggie. I'm pretty adamant with my students not to concentrate. I spend a lot of time showing them how they can think a thought without concentrating. Not just a sort of a broad general thought, but a very specific thought, how they can do that without getting into concentration, how they can very lightly let their attention go to something, could be anything. Certainly from an Alexander point of view, maybe their neck would be a nice place, but right? But it could be anything useful. And so it's. I kind of agree with Dewey's quote to the extent that it relates to the lightest version of Mr. Alexander's discoveries, or the softest version, let's say, or the most gentle version. Whereas, what do you think? Does that make any sense? Or is that just crazy?
No, there is, in terms of how to use your mind and your attention easily, and how to use your body easily. Mm-hmm. But I remember Alexander writing about how our use patterns would then affect habitual patterns of thinking, and then we would be looking through that lens, so to speak, at whatever new things that we're learning, and we'd interpret them a certain way.
John Dewey, I think it's his wife, said about him after he died that he always very much valued the Alexander work he'd had. Of course, he had it with F.M. Alexander himself, and that in addition to all the physical things, and in his case, apparently the really big physical thing was freedom of his rib cage, which I gather was pretty tightly held before. But he said in the realm of thought that he found himself much better able to listen to both sides of an argument, to take in an opposing point of view, and not immediately jump to the conclusion that it was wrong. And I think if you want to relate that to education, I'm back on education now. What is education? It's exposing yourself to ideas, some of which are probably going to be really, or say good education, is exposing yourself to ideas that you probably had never thought of before, or concepts or skills or whatever. And the ability to, it's a tricky word, but say withhold judgment, or not immediately dismiss something because it's out of your range of what you're used to. That's a real skill that will help anyone be a better student, don't you think?
And also focus of attention. And not having a lot of extra tension in it.
When you're a student, say at a university, you have a book you got to get read by the next day. You've got to be able to read that book in a way that doesn't that doesn't kind of block off a lot of the messages that's in the book. You need to be able to just kind of take it in, and you can certainly evaluate it, but if you're sort of constantly judging or saying this is wrong or that's wrong, you might not really get the message of the book.
Yeah, and I often think a useful way to focus your attention is to have I call it a 360 degree attention, where you have peripheral attention, especially in the areas you can't see, so you're not blocking out areas of your attention.
Right.
And if you have an intent to read the book, and you do that at the same time as you have the intent to read the book, you'll have almost a photographic memory of some things. You'll just really be able to locate where they were written on the page, how the person said it. It's a very different kind of way to memorize or to really learn.
Well, there are some good connections, and I think we've at least done a preliminary job of talking about some of those connections between the technique and education. What do you think?
Absolutely.